We're very happy for the occasion to be in your midst this evening. It's our privilege to just have a short visit to the homeland, and it wasn't our purpose to take too much time in preaching this time, but nevertheless we're thankful for the opportunity to be here. Now I have something before me, and I don't know how quickly I will work through it. If it takes quite a while, then we won't get no time to speak a little about the Lord's work in Holland. But if we get time, then we will try to say a little bit about the Lord's work in Holland. Sometimes they say I'm a little long-winded, and if that's the case tonight, you probably won't hear too much, but we'll see. We'll see how the Lord will lead in these things. Matthew chapter 21. We've been singing, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. He says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first, and he said, 'Son, go to work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterwards, he repented and went, and he came to the second, and he said likewise. And he answered and he said, 'I go, sir,' and he went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father?" And they say unto him, "The first." I've just a little phrase here that I would like to dwell upon tonight, and that is the phrase in verse 28. It's a very simple message. It is a message that I would like to bring to the hearts of the youngest to the eldest. It's something that is very necessary today, and that's the phrase that we find on the end of verse 28, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And I have put at top of this a master's command. I've spoken on this before. I don't know here. I don't always keep track of it. But it always speaks to my own soul whenever I go over these simple words. And it's something that we would like to apply to our every heart, son, daughter. Every born-again child of God has received this position of sons and daughters. With other words, a responsible place. And we've been praying for the work of the Lord in different countries. But you know, there is a vineyard that's your vineyard. There's a place where you have the responsibility to work. After all, that's why the Lord saved us. He didn't save us that we would be sure of heaven only and that we wouldn't go to hell. He saved us for a purpose. He saved to use us. And I would think of these words here, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And I would like to break this in just little pieces, and I would like to apply it to our own every heart, your heart and my heart. We'd like to make it, as our brother said in prayer, practical. After all, that's what counts. And this is what we would like to see. That when we are saved, that we become practical Christians. That's the only way to see growth. I'm quite sure that if I were to ask you tonight, how did you get saved? How were you brought under the sound of the gospel? That the Lord used someone. He didn't use an angel. He doesn't use angels. When people tell me sometimes that I saw an angel or I heard an angel speak, You know, it's very risky business because the Lord doesn't use angels. He uses man and woman. And so we find that this master's command, as we mentioned in prayer, as the Lord Jesus said, here he went up into heaven and he said, all power is given unto me. And he's given us this command to go out and make disciples out of every nation. Son has a wonderful meaning for us, to us today. Not only are we saved, are we children of God because we are born again, but you know, this sonship speaks of unity. It speaks of being one with the one that sends us. And it is the Lord Jesus that has sent us. And he will bring us into this unity. Sometimes we sing so very near to God, nearer we cannot be, for in the person of his Son, we are as near as he. And he would like to realize that we are not only children of God because we've been saved, for as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. But you know, we have been predestinated. We've been called, we've been predestinated unto the placing of sons. That's why we've been saved. God says, I've saved you that you might get the place of sons and daughters. You know, children, that speaks of privilege. Our children, when they're small, they haven't got much responsibility. They've got to learn obedience, but really they haven't got much responsibility. They're loved. They're in a privileged position. But you know, the moment we grow up, we have responsibility. Now, every child of God, the moment we're saved, we are at the same time, we are placed in this position of sons. And we have the responsibility towards God because of our position. He says, you're one with me. He says, you'll become a servant in my vineyard. And that's why he wants to use you and me. Remember how the Corinthians, the Lord couldn't use them? Although they had the placing of sons, they didn't act like it. They were not separated from the things of the world. And the Lord says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, therefore come out from among them and be ye separated, say the Lord. Touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. Weren't they saved? They were. But they were not acting as sons and daughters. And God says, I can't use you the way you're acting. Come you out from among them. And I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. And that's what the Lord wants to do with you and me. Son speaks of unity. Being brought into the unity of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the place you and I have received. Wonderful place, dear saints of God. And the Lord would want us to realize that we're not just children. Not just because we are young in Christ, we can do what we like. I remember when I was first saved, maybe the first week, there was no desire to speak to people about their salvation. And I must say, you know, often we didn't use much wisdom. Oh, I can remember many times that we knocked people down by the things that we were saying. And being Dutch doesn't help any either, you know. But nevertheless, there was that desire. We wanted to do something for the Lord. We were placed as sons. We were one with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not just innocent children who can do like they want. Sometimes we get that idea. And then he says, go. He says, go. Go speaks to us of authority. And you know, we have this authority of the Lord. We have this authority of the Lord. The Lord tells us in his word, all power is given unto me. After the Holy Spirit is come upon you, he says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says, all power is given unto you in heaven, to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. Now that very same power is is in your and my reach. We have the very same Holy Spirit. And the Lord tells us to go. I know it's not easy. And it's not easy to go and tell people about their lost estate and they need to be saved. But you know, we find in Matthew 10 where the Lord says to the disciples, "Behold, I sent you as sheep in the midst of the wolves." That's quite something. As sheep in the midst of the wolves. That's what the world is towards us. The Bible calls us sheep. If we are saved, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We are not swine or pigs. That's the unsaved, dogs and pigs. But he calls us sheep and he says, I'm sending you in the midst of wolves. And that's what we are. And that's why we need to be wise. We need to be simple. And the Lord tells us that go, go. I think of Michael Brown, known by some of us. I remember him telling us that as he traveled from Hong Kong one day to England on the boat, someone was asked to have Bible readings or meetings on the ship. And so Michael came there, and with him was an Anglican priest. And so the people asked for someone to teach them. And so Michael Brown came, and with him the Anglican priest. And the Anglican priest says, "And who are you?" Well, he says, "I'm a sinner saved by grace." But he says, "From who did you get your ordination?" Michael says, "I've got my ordination from the God of heaven. He has ordained me in this ministry." And the Anglican priest looked upon him, you know, and he smiled at him. "Well," said Michael, "you know, I've got more than empty hands upon empty heads." And the man got very mad at him, but he never showed up anymore. And Michael had the ordination of the Lord. Go. That's what we have. Your saints have gone. The very God of heaven is behind us in whatever work we do. We have the ordination of the Lord. He has sent us as Christians into his vineyard. We don't believe in laity, in clergy. We believe in laity. We believe in those that are, everyone that is saved has this right. And we find that God has given us this great privilege to preach the gospel, you know. People are always wondering who is behind those who are in the mission field. People always shake their heads, income tax included, because they can't understand how we live and how we do our work. But you know what a great privilege it is to have this ordination from heaven. Go. Are we using it? I remember an old man, at least I thought he was old then, because I was young. You know, this old man, this old brother, he one day was working in his field. He was a retired farmer. And he had three farms given to his sons. But you know, his sons, they were always pretty busy, and they asked father to come and do some work on the farm. And of course, the one day he was on the one son's farm, and instead of being retired, he was more busy than ever. And one day his son was looking out the window. His father was harrowing the field on the tractor. And as he looked out of the window, all of a sudden he missed his father. And he knew what had happened. His father had turned the tractor upside down. And he was pinned underneath the tractor. And he was slowly sinking in the mud. And you know, it came upon him. He says, "Well, I'm dying. It won't be long. Nobody can get this tractor from me." And then he cried unto the Lord. And he says, "Lord, if thou wilt save me, I'm going to go and preach the gospel." He had always an exercise for the Dutch people. He was a Dutchman. And he had visited some of the Dutch people. But he became so busy now that he had no time. And so while he was pinned underneath that track, he cried, "O Lord, if thou wilt save me, I will go and preach the gospel." Mind you, he was no preacher. I don't think he's ever stood on a platform. He was no teacher. But he had a heart for the gospel. And his brother, his son, he saw him, he realized what had happened, and he ran to his father, and he managed to tip the tractor over, and just before the man went down into the mud, and he managed to free his father. And he did. I believe as a result, I'm here today. He went and started visiting some of the Dutch people, old Brother Langstad. And he brought before us the claims of the gospel. I never forget the first time I met this dear old man at a birthday party, and he told us how we got saved. His wife must have heard it hundreds of times, and she was always butting in. But you know, we didn't mind. We listened, and we heard the gospel for the first time. You know, it takes some time to get some of us going. It nearly killed him before he really went. And the Lord blessed us. Souls were saved. A brother from the Wettering and his wife were saved. My wife and we were saved. And others were being reached and saved. Go. Oh, you say, but I don't know what to say. Well, listen, there is no greater sermon than your testimony how the Lord saved you. That's the greatest sermon you could ever preach. I hope you got one tonight. You got a testimony? Can you tell us how the Lord saved us? How the Lord saved you? You know a time in your life experience? You know, in Holland we meet lots of people who are said they're Christians. They're even in assembly fellowship in some places. But when you ask them, now how did you get saved? They don't know. They don't know. They've been brought right into it. And they've always believed it. Well, we do not believe that. We believe, dear friends, tonight that we're lost and we need to be saved. So I hope you've got a testimony tonight. I hope you can tell others how the Lord has reached and saved you. Well, that's the best sermon you can ever preach. And you don't need to be a brother. Sister can do it either. And so tonight here is the authority of heaven. Son, go. Go. And it's never too late. And then he says, walk. Work. Activity. You know, there's nothing that's more deadening to the souls of Christians as being idle. As not working at all. That brings deadness to our souls. If you haven't testified all week of the Lord Jesus, you know, you're apt to become a very dead Christian. If you've never told others about the Lord Jesus or spoke to the fellow Christians about the things of God, I believe it's very deadening. We need to work. And there is so much to do. There's so much to do. We find here, you know, sometimes we think that only those that go to the mission field, well, you know, they're the ones that are working. Well, dear saints, we have a great work to do around us. There's many unsaved in the assembly. Oh, we got work to do. And the Lord wants us to be working. Not only thinking of the mission field. Oh, we would long to see more going to the mission field. Oh, we would long to see it. And there's work to do here. I think of an old dear lady that was a washing woman. Sophie the washing woman. This little booklet by Dr. Simpson. And she spoke about this remarkable woman. This woman that was so active that even the pastor of this great church, he often wondered, how is this woman doing it? How can she do it? Well, there was a time when Sophie was exercised about the mission field, but she didn't have no way of getting there. No money and nobody that would send her. Then one day, you know, she was on her knees. And it was as though the Lord said, now Sophie, who's living above you? Well, she said, that's in German. And below you, that's in Japanese. And on the other side, it was in New York. And so she found there was an whole mission field around her. And so she went out and preached the gospel. Dear saints, we are encouraged to ask God's people to work. Remember how the Lord called his 10 servants. And he gave them 10 pounds and he said, occupy it until I come. He hasn't come yet. He hasn't come yet. And he tells us to occupy until he comes. Oh, I do trust that it is in our heart to work for the Lord Jesus. Remember, the Lord says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh in which no man can work. We sometimes sing, must I go, an empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? All dear saints, might we heed to the work, to the word of God. Son, go and work. Work. How important it is. Remember how the Holy Spirit says of the house of Stephanus in 1 Corinthians that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Oh, what a work today. We're living in a time when everyone looks after his own things, upon his own things. That's what the apostle says about the Philippians. Let not every man, look not every man on his own things, but every man also of the on the things of others. And then he gives us that great example. Let his mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, the Lord looked upon others. He came down and he came from heaven's glory to seek and to save those that were lost. And he tells us in the same chapter, for all men seek their own, not the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not the day we're living in today? All men seek their own, not the things which are of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he would remind us tonight, son, go work today. You know, we always like to do things tomorrow, don't we? Tomorrow is such an easy day. Tomorrow we were planning to do things, but we think of this today as an opportunity. I've had opportunities letting slip by, which I should have done today. And I went the day after and it wasn't good. Today is the day. You know, we often take the word of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and we apply it to the unsaved, where he says, behold, now is the accepted time. But you know, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, we die, we then, as workers together with him. Speaking about Jesus. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that you have, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. You've received them through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the apostle says, as workers together, we beseech you that you receive it not in vain. That you do something else. That's what it means. He's speaking to Christians. And then he says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. It's now the day to work. That's the day of opportunity. And he's speaking to Christians. Don't receive that wonderful grace in vain and spoil it and spoil it. He said, use it for God's glory. He said, and do it today. Today is the day of opportunity. I remember some years ago, I think the first time I came over in 74, I believe it was, and my sister, she told me about a little incident, just a little incident. When they went to a gospel meeting in Fleetwood, and I don't know who spoke, but one of the brethren spoke a very solemn gospel message about eternity, about heaven, about hell. And you know, one of the little girls came home crying, says, Mommy, what's terrible? He said, that the people are going to. What can we do about it? You don't fight your goal. What can we do about it? Well, he said, we gotta tell her. Tell the people that's all we can do. Well, the next day he went to kindergarten. And you know, the first thing he said to the teacher, are you saying? And so this teacher looked at her and he says,
What makes you say that, Lisa? Well, he says, you know, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And if you're not saved, you're going to hell. But don't talk like that. You don't know. But I have to, she says, and I'd like to talk to the children.
And she did. She got these little children all there and said, children, listen, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And you need to be saved. Perhaps you don't know what it all means. But she knew the reality, a little of the reality of the church. Brethren and sisters, the opportunity for that.
Today, when we think of that incident in the Old Testament, remember those four leper people? They were outside of the city of Samaria. A mile they were hungry, and they had nothing, and everybody was starving. And then they were directed to the camp of the Syrians, and then they came there. The enemy was God. And they went to do one thing, they ate and they drank. And they put silver and gold and they clothed themselves. And all of a sudden they were rich. And they went in another tent and they hid it and they went in another and they hid it. And then all of a sudden they drowned it. You know what he says?
We do not know.
We do not know. This is a day of glad tidings and we hold our peace.
I wonder today.
And it is written to our heart, we will eat and drink it. Of the blessings of God. We've received gold and silver and we've got everything that we could ever desire as Christians.
And I need to. We've been blessed with all the blessings from the heavens. But how is that another?
Could it be said of us, we do not burn? We hold our peace and this is a day of glad tidings?
I hope you're using our opportunity.
I hope you're taking the opportunity of telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, about His finished work, about what He's done for us on the cross of Calvary.
For today, we deserve salvation. Tomorrow maybe, as you go out, you're saying, tomorrow again, in your work, I do hope you think of these words.
Son, go back today. And so he says, in the place where you're living in. The place where you're living in. Do the neighbors know about it? People that you come into contact with every day. Do you and they know that you're a Christian? That you have the very message of life? I remember hearing from Brother Ernie Wilson from Ireland when he applied to the elders and he told them, I have an exercise to go to Angola. And so they said to him, that, Ernie, have you spoken to your neighbors about it? Yes, he said, but they don't want to listen anyway. He said, on the one side there are ungodly people and the other side there are religious people, and he says, that doesn't help anyway. Yeah, but have you spoken to them? No, not really. Well, you do that first. And the brother became exercised about his neighbor. And he took the opportunity to speak to them, and he saw one of them say, and he went on. And later on, he came to the elders again and told them his message. Oh, brethren, how important it is to start where we're living in. It's not so easy. The state you're living in, that's difficult. The people that you meet. But that's what he says. In locality. That's what we find in the Bible. Remember the Lord as he met this woman of Samaria. And this woman, she had received the Lord Jesus, and she went back to Samaria, and she says, come see him. He told me all things whatsoever I did. It's not this Christ. You know where he goes. And he came, and he reached and saved. And then of that gathering, this man that was living in the graveyard, and this man met the Lord Jesus, and he wanted to follow the Lord. But the Lord says, go back, return unto thy house and show how great things the Lord hath done unto thee.
And this is what he meant to do. He learned and spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it is? When you said that I can preach, well, dear saint, that's not what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ.
He wants you to say a simple word. You know, I read a little little incident once, and it really spoke to me. It shows who the Lord can use. We had gospel meetings arranged for in this gospel hall, and especially for one man. One man, he came out for many years already, and he didn't get saved. And so they thought we had special prayer meetings, especially for Bill. And they started special gospel meetings. And this Bill came out every night. And after the second week, they heard that Bill got saved. He didn't show up on Sunday. And he didn't show up on Monday night. And so one of the brethren went to look up Bill. And he wanted to know whether it was really true. And so he knocked at the door, and the door was opened, and Bill, he was a bachelor, and Bill, he opened the door, and he looked kind of pale. And the brethren says, "I haven't seen you, Bill." "No," he says, "I had the flu, I was sick." He just said, "Come in." And so the brethren sat down, and he expected Bill to come out and say, but Bill was not that quick, and so the brethren, he said, "Bill, I heard something about you." "Oh, yes. And I heard that you got saved." "Yes," he said, "I got saved." "Well, when did you get saved?" "Well," he said, "I got saved Friday night." "But," he said, who what was it? "Is something one of the brethren said?" "Well, we'd like to get a little credit, you know." And so, no, says Bill, "I just don't remember what was said." "Well, was it through a text in the wall?" No, said Bill. "Well, what happened anyway, Bill? What happened?" "Well," he says, "you know, that night I just don't remember too much about the preaching. But," he says, "that night I went home and it was raining hard." He says, "and I was walking home. In front of me there was one of the elderly ladies of the hall. And she stumbled and fell in the mud." And so Bill says, "I went and picked her up. And as I went and picked her up, this dear lady, she turned her face to my face, and she simply said, 'Bill, you will love my son.'" And Bill says, "it was an arrow from God's quiver that reached my heart." He says, "I ran home, and I threw myself on the bed." He says, "and I cried to God to save me. But he did. He said, 'Just a simple word. You will love my son.'" Oh, Bill, he didn't know the Savior, but that's what the Lord used to break Bill's heart. And so he would encourage you and me, dear sons of God. And then he says, "my." I've been thinking about this word, "my." You know, if some of us were working for the Queen of England or the President of Canada, that's quite a position, wouldn't it? You might have been one of the head men of the biggest bank in Canada. That's quite a position. You know, that's nothing compared with this word. So admire him. You know, that's a place of dignity. You know, we often forget that as Christians, we have been brought into the greatest word that you could ever think of. It's a word that lasts forever and ever. All other words will cease. Heaven and earth will pass away. And my word will stay in eternity. Will never pass away. And he says here, "work in my vineyard." My speech of goodness. A speech of a place. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. God's garden. The assembly of God. That's God's place. The rest is the dominion of Satan. That's where Satan rules. He's the God of this world. But God has a place where he dwells, and that's the assembly of God. And God has a vineyard that needs to be worked. Dear saints of God, he says, "it's my vineyard." And he wants us to realize that. Remember in the Songs of Solomon, where he says, "awake, O north wind, and come, thou south wind, and blow upon my God, my God." The Lord Jesus himself is the one that is head of his house, that is the one that directs us, that encourages us to work in His kingdom. And so maybe you realize tonight how important it is for us, God, His people, to be working in His kingdom, a place of goodness. The person of whom you, John, could say, or who could say to John, that he was the first and the last. And he could say to John, after John had fallen as dead into the ground, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and life. Our person tonight says to you, you're working in my kingdom, a place of goodness. Do you realize that tonight, dear saints? That we have this place of dignity. It's 40 years ago this year. Nearly to the day. Just a couple of more days. 40 years ago that we were delivered, that we were liberated from an awful enemy. Some of us remember those days. We were right in there. 5 long years, we were under the enemy. A cruel, terrible enemy. But you know, that happy moment, that happy day came that we were liberated. And I can still see those Canadian men coming in their jeeps and in their tents. And I can still see them coming. I was a boy of 14 years of age. I have never forgotten that sight. When these men came, and these men carried a dignity there. Just ordinary men. But you know, they carried a dignity as nobody else. Someone has said, we thought they were kings. They were giants. They came to liberate us from an awful enemy. And in our era, that Canadian army. I just read the other day, flipping out of the paper, that we have a place not too far from us, a big city. And I read there was one Canadian that captured a big city. And I read the story and was marvelous. This man went in with 2 men to spy out the city. And one of his brother was shot beside him. And alone went into the city. And he climbed up into one of the homes. And he looked in the back and he saw some Germans with the machine guns. And they were all waiting for the Canadian. And he had a bag full of hand grenades and he shot the door. And the German thought the enemy was right upon us. And they fled. And they fled out of the city. One man captured the whole city. But this man was carried with motorbike and everything. He was carried up by the people. My, what a giant, what a dignity this man carried. They were all liberated. But you see, let me tell you, there's one today who has liberated us from a far, an enemy that's far worse than the German army. We were only for 5 years and about 7 years. But I tell you, here is one who has liberated us from sin, death, and hell. Not for time, but for eternity. He is the one that carries the dignity of one that has conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. And he tells us, he asks us today, son, go and work in my kingdom. Vineyard is the place of fertility. Is the place where we can be fruitful for Him. Are we fruitful tonight? Are we fruitful for our Lord Jesus Christ? He said it in Matthew chapter 20, when He had sent people into His vineyard, and He says about the 11th hour, He went out and found others standing idle. You know, it's not too late yet. He found others standing idle, and He said unto them, why stand you idle all day? They said, because no man had heard this. It would be a shame tonight. You won't want to do so. You should have been idle up to now. Indeed, it is 11 now. But it's nothing. We can start right now. We can start to work in God's vineyard. And we know that as far as the reward is concerned, whether the last or the first day, they had the same reward. Oh, the Lord would want the reward. Oh yes, I'm looking for the reward. I would like to hear from the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Don't you want to hear this?
Oh, not because of the reward, because of love for Christ. But you know, the reward is an encouragement to us.
And so the Lord would encourage us as his people.
The Lord says, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit.
How do you bring fruit? Is a fruit in my life in your life?
So he would tell us again today.
Say, brother, go. Work in my name.
May the Lord bless you too. And I think tonight of a man. And he was a young man. And he worked in one of the banks in London, had a good job. But when Friday night came, this man, he went down into Scotland to preach the gospel, a young man of 21 years of age. He sacrificed his weekend. And he went through a long journey of the train to the little assemblies and the little companies in Scotland. And when it came Sunday night, he boarded the train and he drove all night. And he was in time for his work on this Monday morning. This man did this for years. At one of these occasions, one elderly brother brought him to the trade. And he says to this brother, Brother Sanchon, he said, I would give the world to know what you know. He said, Brother, that's what cost me. The world. And he says, well, you know, brother, I've had a big family. I had to work hard and you know, I can't do what you can do. I couldn't learn what you did. And well, he says, Brother Shanklin, he says, listen, it's still fun. You're retired now. He says, you still got time. He says, why don't you start now? Why don't you start now? Perhaps the Lord will bless you and give you the joy of serving him. It was 20 years later when Brother Harold Shanklin came in the same town in Scotland. And he was met by a dear old man with a big beard. And the dear old man says, Brother Shanklin, do you still remember me? He says, I'm afraid not. He says, I'm the old elderly brother. You advise to go and work for the Lord. He says, you know, those last 20 years, there's no time out, have been my most happiest and blissful years. He went and served the Lord. He spoke of the Lord Jesus. And he went and served him in God's vineyard. May the Lord encourage us as his people to work while it is yet day. Son, go and work in my vineyard. May the Lord bless you. I have 5 minutes. And I would wish now, a little bit
about the Lord's birth in Holland. I don't know. I think I said a little bit about it 3 years ago, though. I'd like to say that, the work is not getting any easier in Holland. People are more satisfied than ever, and there seems to be little interest in the salvation of their souls. We keep on going, and we preach the gospel in the tent. We are soon to start. When I come home at the end of May, we start again with about 10 weeks of gospel meetings in the tent. And we are mostly helped by local brethren. And often it is a way of finding out where there is interest. And then we have meetings in the wintertime in the Render House. And we seek to preach the gospel, but the interest is often very low. If we get one or two in the gospel meeting, strangers, then we are very happy. But nevertheless, we are very thankful for the ones and two that are being saved in different places. And often it is through sometimes weddings, sometimes funerals, that contacts are being made. I remember one sister in the meeting. Her husband was a man that had nervous breakdowns quite often, and
You have come to the gospel meetings. I don't know whether the man was really saved. And you have come to the gospel meetings, but you have gone for the healing of his body through all kinds of Pentecostal meetings. And of course, he could find plenty of men and women that would lay their hands upon his head and pray for him. And then he thought he would get healed. But, you know, I don't know how many did it, but different places he drove for miles to find these kind of people, and he did find them, but after perhaps 4 or 5 years going from one place to another, he got rather worse than better, and instead of going to the Lord Jesus, he went to these people, and finally one woman told him that there was no hope for him, and that he had no faith, and that he might as well give up. And you know, the dear man, the poor man, he went down one night and he didn't come home. And his wife contacted the police and they stopped searching for him and they found him drowned in one of the rivers. He committed suicide because there was no hope for him. Well, we have the funeral. And at this funeral, all his children were there. And neighbors and others, and it was a wonderful opportunity to preach the gospel. We didn't talk about the man, but we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we warned the people for the salvation of their souls. And so I noticed that one of their children, one son with his wife, they were very much concerned. I could see it while we were preaching the gospel. So when the meeting was over, we went to this man and his wife and we asked them whether it was all right for us to visit them the next week. And they said, yes, we would like to visit us. And we found that this dear woman, although she had no religious background whatsoever, rather a very, very difficult background, alcoholism and other things in the family, but this dear lady, also her husband, they showed an interest. And we stopped visiting them, and we asked them to come to the gospel meeting. In David's side, which they did. At least the lady, the man never did come. But the lady came out, and she came to the gospel meetings, and I remember one Wednesday morning, we looked them up again, and we spoke to this dear lady about her soul, and we opened the Bible at Isaiah chapter 53, and we read to her that wonderful portion, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. And the dear lady was in tears. And so we left her. But you know, that night we had, Wednesday night we had Bible reading and prayer meeting. And behold, this lady came along with one of the Christians. She had told them and she wanted to come to the Bible reading. And she came with her head being covered, and we wondered why she came. Well, she came to me, in the hall, and she told me, well, Mr. Swan, this afternoon in my bedroom, I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And she was reached and saved. She was baptized later on, and she is in happy fellowship in David's time. And so these occasions, whether for wedding or funeral, we take the opportunity and preach the gospel, and many a door has been opened. I think there's at least 3 or 4 young men and women in the assembly that have come in because of weddings in the assembly with one or some of the Christian young men and women that were married, and their relatives were contacted, and they have brought out to the gospel meeting, and they have been reached and saved. And we are very thankful for these occasions. And as I said, in Holland, it is becoming quite difficult. But we appreciate your prayers and fellowship with us in the Lord's work in Holland. And it's always a great encouragement to hear of God's people here praying for us and having fellowship with us in the Lord. And so we would ask you to continue to pray. Pray that in times of difficulties, we may not be discouraged, and that we might find still find the desire to work while at his young day. To work in his vineyard. And you know, it's often when people are not getting saved and contacts are few that the missionary also is often discouraged and we meet the prayers of God's people in the homeland and we do pressure. You remember us in prayer, remember the work, and also that others might be raised up. The Thunder Lettering are probably coming back, or probably, Mrs. Thunder Lettering has come back today, and our brother Thunder Lettering, he, probably won't be serving in Holland anymore, or perhaps occasionally, so we're more or less on ourselves, and we certainly will cry to the Lord for fellow laborers. It's a very dense populated country, over 50 million, and yet we hardly a worker in our land. So do pray that the Lord would work up, raise up workers, that he may be sent to come over and help us. Let me pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank thee for the opportunity again to be amongst thy people. We thank thee, O God, for thy holy and precious word, and we do pray that our hearts might have been spoken to as we considered the words of this man and the words of our Lord Jesus. Son, go work today in my vineyard. And O Lord, we must confess in thy presence that often we are standing idle, often we are not working the way we ought to work. And we would be reminded of the words of the Lord, work while it is yet day. And we believe that time is soon to come upon us when the night, Father, will be upon us and we won't be able to work anymore. And we will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And the night scene will set in, Father, and Lord, there will be no opportunity to be saved anymore. Oh God, we pray that we might take these golden opportunities which are given unto us, that we might be always ready to give an answer to every man that has asked because of the hope that is within us with fear and trembling. Blessed Father, bless the assembly here in Richmond. We ask thy blessing upon each Christian, and we pray, Father, that there might be the desire in their own souls to be useful in the Lord's service. Father, we would commit ourselves to thee now. We would still ask to answer the prayer to the Gano, and we pray for thy good hand upon us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.